Llewellyn's Pub is the place to be no matter what the occasion might be. Delicious from-scratch food prepared daily, great drink specials, including game-time specials, and an amazing atmosphere. What more could you want? How about brunch? Llewellyn's Soulard, Webster, Wildwood, and St. Charles all offer brunch every weekend from 9:30 to 2. Save yourself the hassle and hop on Llewellyn's trolley to the Blues and Cardinal games from Soulard. And stay tuned to learn how you can win a chance to throw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game later this year. Llewellyn's Pub, Celtic for good times.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
And this week, Wednesday, sick.
What can you do?
Wonder if they'll be playing Ween tonight at the American Airlines Center.
Probably not.
Powder blue. That's all I think, anyway. It's just an honor of the Cardinals wearing powder blue jerseys.
They haven't done that yet, have they?
Should, wouldn't it be nice?
Have they ever worn those in throwback days?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think it was a game against the Rays in 2012. Was that right?
Oh, hell, I don't remember. I didn't remember they wore them. I'm not going to know what the date was.
We have this golf tournament, and at this point, God, what would you say, 47 and a half hours?
I haven't really done the math on it yet, Tim. I'm just kind of dreading it.
It's at it's at Normandy, and we're looking forward to everybody being there. Portions of the proceeds go into Three Little Birds for Life. We'll have a silent auction afterwards. The awards at Over Under Bar and Grill on Washington Avenue will be ponied up. Janie the Lesbian's flying into town for it. Caller Jordan is participating in Foot Fetish Friday. Timberfake says he's bringing a number of women to the show. So we'll see how that plays out.
No.
We have Bud Light as a presenting sponsor along with Kenrick's. The people at Kenrick said a bunch of our listeners have been coming in there, and I cannot recommend it enough to our audience. It's family-owned and operated for over 40 years. It's at 4324 Weber Road. If you like to barbecue, or if you like barbecue but don't want to spend the time or have the time to barbecue, go to Kenrick's. It's St. Louis's largest butcher shop. Kenrick's has provided the St. Louis area with the freshest, highest-quality meat since 1945. They make over 80 varieties of sausage in their sausage kitchen. You like that?
I do like the way you say sausage, Tim. You make even that simple word very, very interesting, very cool, very trendy and now.
Call Kendricks for backyard barbecues, graduations, or any other occasion with their fully prepared food for pickup or delivery. It's at kendricks.com, 4324 Weber Road, 314-631-2440. Thrill your grill with Kendricks Meats. Kendricks, one of the great sponsors on this golf tournament in 2 days at Normandy. Charlie, you will be there.
I will be there.
I'll be there for the radio. I'll be there. But you've got television responsibilities at the Fox 2.
Not till later.
So you can hang out. I wouldn't mind playing, but I haven't played golf in 6 years. No, I played golf a couple years ago. But
not a round? Really? And you used to be playing all the time.
I did. But I would like to play. So I don't know. Maybe we can put a foursome together. I got to ask Jennings if there's room at the inn.
Yeah, it probably won't be if there's that many foursomes out there.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't played all year.
Would it be rude if I said, can I play through?
Just by yourself. Just keep plowing through it. Don't talk to anybody. Just play. I think that'd be fine.
Probably very apropos, actually. Don't even ask to play through. Just go right in.
Hey, single behind you.
Put on sunglasses and wear a hoodie and don't talk to anybody. Just say, hey, I'm playing through. I'm Tim.
That's what I'll do. Then I'll get around in. I don't even know the clubs I have that I think I got like more than 10 years ago. They're probably so out of date.
I got old clubs, too. And good clubs make a lot of difference.
Yeah, we could shave strokes off our game. I'm going down to Hilton Head for my brother's wedding in July, and I definitely want to play there.
I'm still using those wooden shafted clubs.
That's gangster, man.
Tied together with twine there at the bottom of it.
Nice.
There's some of the original clubs like from the 1850s.
Timmy, I bought some Kenrick's brats this weekend. When I was grilling them, one started to squirt juices everywhere. I feel like that's a good omen for this tortabit.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
That is the sign of a juicy brat, though. That Kenrick's, they're always doing stuff with Fox 2. When I pull into Fox 2 and that Kenrick's truck is there, Doug,
yeah.
And they got the big smoker out.
They got a food truck
I know
that
there's
going right
to be. Well, they have like that trailer that has the big grill smoker.
That's right.
And they pull it up when they're doing stuff. You know, they'll do a segment on Fox 2. Mm-hmm. And then you walk in, and they have all kinds of treats for the employees.
Guys, my wife said she would pick me up after the tournament if any broads need a ride home and would like to have a threesome. Thanks, Stephen Wildwood. Wow, that's a nice gesture. You get a ride and a threesome?
I don't think he told his wife that, though.
It's very simple. He laid it right out there. If anyone would like a ride and a threesome, my wife is coming to pick me up.
I think we're going to have a lot of broads there.
Oh, you won't.
Now, why do you say you? Like, you're not first person.
Well,
let me ask you this.
I didn't put it together. I don't think this is going to necessarily be a pony.
If all the dudes, my God, drop out of that plow
chart. That's what I'm saying. If all the dudes are golfing, what are the women going to do while they're golfing?
Why would they show up?
That's what I'm saying. Is there going to be like a party going on?
Maybe they're playing. Maybe the girls are playing golf.
Man, that Janie, the lesbian, finna hook up.
They let them on the course out there at Normandy, don't they?
I mean, them, lesbians? Wow, what is this?
I mean, women.
2012?
There was a time when they couldn't even play golf on certain country clubs.
Right.
Can you believe that?
Was that she would always protest outside of Augusta?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Why can't we play?
Margaret Thatcher, I believe her
That's
name
correct.
Was Doug.
The Iron Lady.
What was her name?
Margaret Thatcher? Maggie.
No, the woman protesting.
Tim, Doug, why do you hate the listeners this week? You're so negative. Thanks. That's from the Shrewsbury Unstable.
There's a lot of Shrewsbury listeners.
Yeah, we're big there. Mm-hmm. St. Michael's Parish,
I think. It's not a real big municipality. Maybe that's just because it is close, so maybe they can actually hear the signal.
Guys, the women will be scissoring in the clubhouse. Why do men play golf? Goat boy.
They won't be scissoring in the clubhouse.
God,
I'm confident that they won't.
Guys, is Normandy's dress code acceptable to wear jorts and cut-off camo shirt? Thanks, Tyler the Midget.
Martha Burke.
Thank you.
Martha Burke. Oh, she Burke's
a white rascal.
She protested like Mizzou. I'll tell you what. She was in there. She was really getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
Powder blue. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Mike. Hello, Mike.
The Pittsburgh hockey, they're playing good, huh?
Yeah,
the Penguins advance to the Eastern Conference Finals where they will meet the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You think Blue can make it tonight?
Doug?
Yes, I think they're going to make it tonight. Don't you, Mike?
Nope.
Why?
What?
I don't know. Well, they play good, play good.
You like the Dallas club?
No. I say if they can play good, play good.
All right. That's good advice. If you can play good, go ahead and play good. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Connor won yesterday, huh?
Yeah, they won your final. Nice night for Matt Carpenter and Mike Leake, as well as Matt Holliday and Randall Grichuk.
Did you stay up to watch the game?
Turkey right now?
Turkey, delicious treat during the holidays.
Hey, Dad, you know what I'm drinking right now?
What are you doing right now?
Coffee.
You're drinking coffee right now. Nice. Have you?
Yeah, make my ass sassy. Hey, Dad.
That it will. Oh, yes, Mike.
Your wife kissed my ass.
Put him down! Put him down!
Oh. One of these days.
Been suspended, fellas.
We need to get like a FaceTime shot. I want to see what Mike's facial expression is when he delivers these lines. I bet you it's really funny.
Perclitus, who I think might be the kindest human being. He's the Mother Teresa of this show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He witnesses Mike make a lot of these phone calls. And he's quite happy with himself after he gets you.
Yeah, yep. Peacocks around
a
little
bit. Merton Hanks.
I never see it coming.
Guys, is mesh apparel okay to wear at the golf outing? Thanks. It's from the 347.
Yes, and it would be appreciated.
A nice. Remember those pennies you'd wear in gym class, like a mesh penny?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, the red penny. Because you can't go shirts and skins in a school because it's inappropriate, Doug.
Mm.
So one team would have the pennies.
This could be the biggest collection of Hoosiers since they had that mud bog down in Hillsboro.
It's going to be, what, like 250 golfers, listeners of this presentation. And they were able to get off work.
What do you mean they're able to get off work? They were able to get a furlough from prison for a day or two.
So what's the deal? Is there a meal going on? Is there a banquet? Is it just golf? Is there drinks? What's the deal?
Doug?
I think it's golf, and then there's this party afterwards.
Yeah, well, the donut drive-in, St. Louis Hills. Is providing donuts early on. We'll be broadcasting live from Normandy. And then we will have the fine people at Billy G's preparing a delicious treat for all of the listeners as well, midday. Sure. And we'll have treats for lunch. So enjoy. And then we'll go down to over-under. So we'll be able to share three meals together. And then maybe a
nightcap.
Seems
like a lot.
Now, is it a contest? Are there flights and trophies and whatnot?
Doug?
I don't know. I haven't really heard much talk about it. What do I get if I win?
Is it okay to show ball cleavage on Friday? Thanks. That comes from the troll.
I think that's probably all right.
Is there plenty of room in the public restrooms at Normandy? Thanks. That comes from the Wilmore Park bathroom attendant.
He's going to come and attend to the folks that need to use the restroom here. He's offering his services up.
Tim, why do you call me unstable? That's from the Shrewsbury Unstable. I don't know. These names pop up in this thing, and I don't know how. Like, I see at the top, Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man, then Juan from PP Corp, then Shrewsbury Unstable, then Troll. Sea Monster, how does this work? Plow Shark, how does this work? Because these have been here ever since we switched to this system.
Well, somebody will, one of us will have actually had to enter that information.
Really? So it isn't like a caller ID deal?
Correct. But usually
the one now is Joel in Castle Rock, Colorado. Like, how in the hell do we have that?
Because I didn't put them all in. It started before I was on the show. But I'll usually monitor the text line. And if I see somebody text in and kind of tag themselves, same name a few times, I'll go ahead and save it in there. So it's easier for you guys to see.
What a gentleman. That's a Seamaster.
He's a gentleman.
Seamaster going to Seamaster. We have EJ Raddick joining us at 8:30 on the Blues and the Stars. The poll is up on my Twitter tweets. And people are bullish on the Blues. They were not bullish on the Blues in the Game 7 against the Stars, or Blackhawks, excuse me. 445 votes, Doug. 80% on the Blues this evening. Well, God, it'd be nice. Good. My whole world would change if the Blues were to win tonight. I just feel better. And I'll be depressed if they lose. It's sad. It's sad, but that's how I feel. I actually had trouble sleeping after Monday night. That's pathetic.
You're kidding.
I'm dead serious.
Tossing
it
and
is.
Turning about some of the line changes.
I woke
changes.
Up early. I don't know. Anna Marie's been having trouble sleeping. I feel terribly for her. We're trying to get that shot and fixed. It's the worst because I used to deal with it.
Do you have restless leg syndrome as well?
No, I don't know what's going on, but I feel really badly for her because it's been going on. Either way, so that may have woke me up. But I swear to you, I woke up and I was down about it. And I know I'm not the only one. I still think it's pathetic. It doesn't change the fact that I am labeling myself as hideously pathetic. But it bothered me.
It's pathetic, but also great, because this is why we love sports, Doug. Because it does, a few teams here and there, your hometown team, it affects your mood because you care. And that is a good thing.
I know. Sure. I don't think you should necessarily lose sleep over it. But if you're a diehard fan, you can't help but be affected.
I could barely sleep. I just felt bad for J-Bo.
Really? You couldn't sleep at night because the defenseman stumbled.
I knew he was going to take the brunt of that, and I just didn't think it was fair.
Doug, change my name, damn it. I'm the Shrewsbury Seminary student, not the Shrewsbury Unstable student. What the heck, Sea Monster?
I think Unstable's about right. I think that says it better.
Was this the guy who wanted to fight Jimmy the Bull? What happened to Jimmy the Bull, by the way? Wasn't he the one who wanted to fight Jimmy the Bull at the Starbucks?
He was, yeah.
Or maybe the Bull wanted to fight him?
And the Bull showed up, too. He came loaded for bear.
He did.
Should adults really be fighting each other?
I think our listeners should.
Yeah.
It's one thing if it's like a bout that you can monetize for entertainment value. But otherwise, you get in a fight, somebody gets hurt, the other person calls the cops, then there's like a legal thing. You got to hire a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
It's good for the economy, though. Keeps a lot of people working.
That's true.
Now, Timber Fake, I don't know what's going on this morning. It's more unique than normal. Now, Doug, are you sideways with the White Collar Gangster or not? I can't remember. I don't know who you're sideways with.
I don't know.
You're not sideways with
him. I don't feel like I'm sideways with anyone.
I thought you said he sent in vile text messages.
Oh, he has. He has.
But you don't want to fight him.
No, I don't want to fight anybody.
What about the Barnhart Brawler?
No, he's got some twisted politics, but he'll grow up and he'll grow out of that.
What about this?
See reality at some point in his life.
What about a political debate?
Wow,
Tim, you're the moderator.
Nice, I can be Chuck Todd.
Yes, between the Barnhart Brawler and Doug Vaughn. Right. Maybe you do it as a precursor.
Yeah, we could do that at the Improv Shop. I would enjoy that. I would actually
think
enjoy
about that. My idea.
That's a great idea. I'll give you 1% of the revenue. Not even the profit, the revenue.
Hold out for
I'll tell you what. I won't do it for anything more than 2%.
Okay, then how about 0.5%?
Then it sounds like you're settling at 1.
Nice. Anyway, Timberfake screenshotted this. I guess he's hitting on Tawny in private messages.
Oh, he is. She probably gets a lot of that.
I don't know. I see. All he did was screenshot beautiful baby.
Mm.
Dave Matthews, though?
Oh, he's a smooth dog, that guy.
Thank you. I'm Native American and Mexican. No, I have to work. If you're a friend of the page, you shouldn't add me. I will steal you. You have no idea. And I'm 59% Cherokee Indian. That's an odd breakdown on a percentage.
It is. 59%. I don't know how that could ever possibly happen. I'm like 2%.
My great-great-grandma was an Indian princess.
Princess, of course. Wasn't just another person, just facing the crowd. Your ancestors were all kings of something.
Did Native Americans have princesses?
I don't think so.
At least Sacagawea.
I don't know that she was a princess. That's kind of a European
thing. What about
thing.
Pocahontas?
Well, what about her?
Wasn't she a princess?
I don't know.
She married that John Smith, right?
Yeah, but that didn't make her a princess.
I think it actually...
No, you have to be the daughter of the king or queen, right?
What about the chief?
So maybe the white-collar gangster will fight Timberfake since he's clearly trying to hit on Tawny.
Right.
Tawny, in this screenshot, is by no means reciprocating. And even after she was told that Timberfake is the great-great-great-grandson of an Indian princess.
Right.
This is royal blood.
I don't know. You can't just trust people, can you? I'm a descendant of Indian royalty. You know, I'm going to have to see a little proof of that. You can't just
like Ancestry.com?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm guessing, though, going back a few generations, Native Americans, it's probably not like everything you can't see right there on the family tree. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes those records are lost.
Right. That's where mine stops on my mother's side.
When?
When they got back to the Cherokee Indians.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What would your Indian name be, Doug?
I don't know.
Isn't it Quiet Storm?
No. Doug Vaughn means small, dark puddle. Vaughn,
right.
Vaughn means small, and Douglas means dark puddle.
That's going to give the fan page something to do for the next 48 hours?
Yeah, well, that's just the unfortunate reality of it. You asked me, and there it is.
Hmm.
Barnhart Brawler says, I will show up to debate Doug. I may bring my even further left, much smarter brother to back me up.
Lord.
It's from a Barnhart Brawler.
All right.
Would you be down for a debate?
Probably would be.
That'd be great stuff. I'd enjoy that. I could play the role of Chuck Todd.
Mm. It's hard to argue the right side, though, because then you're labeled as politically incorrect, and then all kinds of hell breaks loose.
Yeah, the show is known for being politically correct. It'd just be us and the Friends of the Feather at the Improv Shop one night. Mm. It's my brother's place down there, Central West End. You ought to go by. It's a great spot.
Yes, I've been there.
Yeah, I was asking Charlie, baby. You were there with me.
Excuse me?
The Improv Shop.
What's my name, though? It's...
Oh, I apologize. I was asking the White Rascal.
Okay, yeah. I have not been there. But I hear it's great.
Your fiancé would enjoy it.
If there's a debate, I'd like to be there. And if you could
but
be the moderator...
But you would probably support the Barnhart Brawler.
No, I'm very much... I'm 51% left, 49% right.
I'm a disagree. And there's nothing
really
wrong
am.
With that.
I'm socially liberal, and I am pretty darn fiscally conservative. I'm pretty moderate.
Which is what I think most of America is, actually.
Yeah. Third way. We need the third way party. It would win every single year.
I think so. Maybe this is the year that something emerges. They better hurry up and do it.
But there's no money there.
If ever we've been given two horrendous candidates to elect, this is the year.
Well, that's your opinion, but you need money. That's the problem. Democrats and Republicans, they have the infrastructure and they have the cash money. The third way party, that candidate, just they can't compete in that way.
You like one of the candidates that's out there now?
I don't think Hillary Clinton is horrendous.
Oh, God, I do.
But that's your opinion, and I want to debate it because we've had this argument.
You've got to save that for the brawler anyway.
Millions of times.
What is it about Hillary that you like?
Guess you're going to debate it, Charlie.
I just don't think she is some evil, awful candidate. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying she's the greatest candidate ever.
Okay.
I think there's a stark contrast between the careers of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in terms of if they should be our president. That's all I'm saying.
Well, her background is more in keeping than what you would expect from a president. But
and I would say the same thing. My thing is just against Trump. That's all I'm saying. I would say the same thing if Donald Trump was a Democrat. And you know what? If Hillary Clinton wasn't a stronger candidate in the sense that she has a good chance of winning, Donald Trump probably would have ran as a Democrat. I think Donald Trump looked at this year and said, I have a better, easier path as a Republican. I don't think necessarily he cares what party he's in. He just saw this upcoming election and said, I'd have a better chance as a Republican.
That might be a good thing, though, to not care what party you're in.
I agree.
And just make decisions based on what's good for the better part of the country.
Amen, sir.
But if you don't vote your party, I mean, you hear all kinds of congressmen, senators say this. If you don't vote along party lines, they cut your funding, and you don't win the next election.
Yeah. And that's what's wrong with the system.
Correct.
Right and wrong gets pushed out the window. We don't care about that. It's just, do you line up with every one of our ideological positions?
Guys, I would like to start the Middle Moderate Federalist Party, a.k.a. the MMFs.
I'm in that party. I'll vote.
Yeah, I'd probably vote for that, too.
Charlie, you're from Ohio, so your political opinion is important. Thanks. It's from Pony Danza. Yep. You could determine this election.
Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. Supposedly, that's where it's at.
I wonder, do you think Kasich would be on the ticket with Mr. Trump?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Who's he going to pick?
I thought it was going to be Rubio. I really didn't.
Rubio says no thanks to that.
I don't believe anybody,
though. The Trump campaign yesterday said that Rubio was really pushing to be on his ticket. And then Rubio did an interview. I watched the whole thing on CNN. Shows you what exciting my life is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that is inaccurate. So, as the colonel said, somebody is being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe anybody, though, until we hear who the running mates are. Kasich said he doesn't want it. I think when all these guys were running, of course, they're not going to say they want to be on the ticket because that makes them look like, hey, they're not still going after the presidency. Bernie Sanders was asked the same thing. And I don't know if that's even an option, but you don't want to say, yeah, I'll be the VP when you're still running for president. It shows weakness, like, okay, you think you're going to lose.
We worry a lot about who the running mate is, and then when they get in the White House, they do next to nothing. They're just kind of there in case something happens to the president. That's what we worry about, I guess.
But, for example, if Kasich could get Trump Ohio, if that would be what pushes him over the top of getting that swing state, I mean, that could be a huge deal.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm at work, and I have no idea what's going on, but I will fight the money man. That's from the white-collar gangster.
Huh.
Who Timberfake is currently hitting on his female lover.
How large a gentleman is the white collar gangster?
Him and Timberfake, I think, are somewhat comparable.
Are they?
I think.
Oh, maybe we have a bout then.
Yeah, they really are. Have you met the white collar gangster?
I have.
White Rascal?
He's a good dude. That's the thing. When the white collar gangster sends in vulgar tweets, he does it from a place of love. Like, he's a good dude. Some of the texts come in from a real vile, from a dark place.
That's right.
He's doing it for fun. You've met him. Good dude, good couple.
Mm-hmm.
We love Townie.
Right. He has gotten vile at times, though, and found himself
again,
in the Ragazzi suspension.
It's part of the show, though.
Well,
it's not from a real.
A little discipline
mean
would be okay if that was part of the
Doug,
show, too.
It's offside, not offsides. Please learn the basic hockey terms. Thanks. That's from the ref in the stands.
For heaven's sakes. Doesn't everybody say he's offsides?
Not the ref in the stands.
Does it really matter, though?
No, it doesn't.
There's a certain wing of the hockey fan that is hockey fan base that is really proprietary about their game.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have in the media a double-edged sword. You don't talk enough about the Blues during the regular season. Well, that's because I'm trying to make money operating my business and appealing to the audience and not just, you know, a segment. I mean, I'd love to talk poker all the time, but I know nobody cares. And then if you do talk about hockey, then people such as the ref in the stands will send in text saying it's offside, not offsides.
Mm-hmm.
And you
who
don't
cares, though? Like, everybody
the ref in the stands
what you meant. This, I don't think it's just a hockey thing. I think it's a societal thing. You see it on social media all the time. Now, listen, Twitter, it's not perfect grammar, okay? Sometimes you're just tweeting. Maybe you use the incorrect form of their, you know, T-H-E-I-R.
Spell check gets you a lot, too.
Okay, but there's all those things where when people start attacking you for their or for your spelling, that's when you know you've won. Like, you know what I meant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This paper wasn't graded for my college class. I was sending out a tweet.
Right.
Shut up.
But it is kind of frustrating that Americans don't know the difference in there, and there.
I agree
with you. You think that you would have that about fifth grade,
okay,
sixth,
but
maybe?
Sometimes when you're sending out a tweet, you don't look it over.
Right.
You might use
that's
your...
That's where the spell check gets you sometimes.
Okay,
too.
But you the might do...
The spell check is going to cover that, though, baby.
Yeah, you might do your instead of apostrophe R.
Yeah, a lot of people struggle
and you
struggle
know
with
the
that.
Rules, but the message was gotten across there, okay?
Yeah.
And then the person who corrects your grammar, that person has nothing else. And they have nothing better to
could
do.
Could be an English teacher.
And they've lost the argument. When you start going after the grammar, that's when you've lost the argument.
But if you're in an argument and you use bad grammar, your point is kind of wounded, I think, because it looks like, well, if you don't know how to spell, if you don't know the right words, maybe you also don't know what you're talking
okay.
about in this
if
argument.
If you're at a presidential debate, I agree with you, where it's important to come across smart and speak like that. When you're on Twitter or you have a character limit, sometimes You take punctuation away just because you want to get your tweet in under 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about grammar in Twitter. You shouldn't.
Well, guys, I'm having chicken taco bowls for dinner tonight. Yummy, yummy in my tummy.
That's interesting. Who was that, Tim? I'm happy for him.
That was yummy, yummy in my tummy.
Okay.
What are you going to have tonight?
Well, chicky taco.
You got an anchor tonight, baby?
I'll probably have something out of a cardboard box.
Nice.
Some Weight Watchers microwave dinner. Eat it at my desk, as usual.
That sounds awful.
I think I have Metabolic Meals bison meatloaf tonight.
Ooh. Sure. You get a cool meal. I don't.
I mean, it's meatloaf.
But it's bison.
You're right. Different kind of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps it tight. Keeps it rewarding. Brentwood Forest pool season fast approaching. I got to be on my A game.
Is it Memorial Day, Doug?
Doug, is it Memorial Day when it opens?
Well, you live there. I don't know when
Let
it
me
is.
Tell you something.
Most pools open Memorial Day, but some of the private pools like that might go a little earlier if the weather's warmer.
Yeah. I have weekends off for the first time in about a decade.
Man, you can pony up.
So I can be a real superstar at that pool scene.
I think so.
Cut that off.
Yeah. You can get some heels and really prance around, really show yourself off.
I think I'll definitely I'll shave my chest. I'll get oiled up. I'll wear kind of those Euro shorts, the shorter ones.
Yeah, hot, hot, hot.
Tim, please talk more poker. Start a podcast. It'll be dope. Somebody wants me to start a poker podcast.
Right.
I play like $50 tournaments on Bovada. My level of knowledge is declining with time. But, Charlie, I'll try to get out there this summer for you and try and win a bracelet. That's all I can do. I'll try. Okay?
You got to.
EJ Raddick's going to join us here in a matter of moments on the appliances counter phone lines. Looking forward to getting his perspective, the NHL Network host and senior reporter at NHL.com on tonight's Game 7. And we welcome your thoughts as well. The vote is up on my Twitter tweets, at T. McKernan. Who do you think will win this evening? Ugh, God. Ugh. I really want the Blues to win. I really do. And it's different for me, even though, of course, I wanted the Cardinals to beat the Cubs. I'm just like, the Cardinals aren't that great. I know they won 100 games, but this team, I think, can really win the Stanley Cup, you know? So there's differences there. We've been lucky because of the Cardinals' run, really, and the Blues going to so many playoffs in a row up through 2004 and then getting back in there in 2009 and every year since 2012. But a lot of times it's like, yeah, it's nice that they're in the playoffs. A lot of things are going to have to go right. This time I think they really could win the Stanley Cup. And to be up 3-2 in the second round and then lose it, that would really smat. That wouldn't mean I'd be going hot take and screaming for people to get fired and all that stuff. I would really be disappointed. I really would be because I think they're the better team, and I truly think they can do it this year. And I don't know if I've ever really said that on the air.
And this might be their best chance in the next decade to win a Stanley Cup.
You just don't know. I thought, you know, Chase, he was kind of in the middle of an answer yesterday, but I thought that was really a poignant thought about after you've been in the league for a few years and not like 10, but just a few, you start to realize, man, these chances just don't come along often. You can be a great team. Look at the Washington Capitals. They didn't get to 3 wins in the second round, and they were putting up record-setting paces and regular season points times this year. The Chicago Blackhawks, the defending cup champions, couldn't get out of the first round. The LA Kings were the favorite out of the Western Conference. They didn't get out of the first round. They got shipped quickly. So you don't know what will happen, what your health will be next year. You have to seize this moment, and I really hope that the Blues will do so this evening. Let's see what the opinion of somebody who would actually have some insight is, and that's EJ Raddick. He is brought to you by the National Blues Museum. That is at 615 Washington Avenue. Live music on Saturdays at the National Blues Museum, and they're the sponsor of our Stanley Cup playoff interviews. As long as the Blues are making a run, National Blues Museum is there. Open 7 days a week, nationalbluesmuseum.org. They are located at 615 Washington Avenue, and joining us right now, senior reporter from NHL.com and NHL Network host, EJ Raddick. EJ, good morning.
Good morning. I don't know how much insight anybody has in these situations, to be honest with you.
These Game 7s,
Game 7s are tricky to figure out.
58% of the time in Stanley Cup playoff action, the home team has won. Of course, that's a decent percentage, but it's still basically a coin flip. And in this series in particular, and in this 2016 Stanley Cup playoff overall, home ice advantage hasn't really mattered much at all, really, with the exception of one series, it seems like, and that's the one that'll conclude tomorrow night in San Jose with the Predators. Your thoughts on the Blues going on the road and having to try to win a Game 7 as opposed to doing it 15 days ago at home against the Blackhawks?
Well, I think what Ken Hitchcock said the other day about home and road is accurate. I think the rinks are all the same now. The teams are know each other pretty well. It's not like in another era where you'd go to the Boston Garden and the neutral zone was smaller and the building was a little different than maybe you used to playing in. They're all the same now. So, and there hasn't been in this series any big advantage being at home, as you've seen. So I think it's a toss-up. I think it'll be a real, real interesting game tonight, and I just think you never know what to expect in these games. Let's face it, we didn't expect to see the Dallas Stars leading 3-0 in the first period in Game 6, and Brian Elliott headed off to the bench. So you just never know.
Speaking of Elliott, I know a lot of Blues fans are wondering if he'll be back in the Nets tonight or if he might switch things up and go with Jake Allen. How do you think they'll handle that?
I think you got to go with Brian Elliott. He's been their guy from day one of the playoffs. He's been terrific for them. I just think that to throw Jake Allen into the mix now, he's played very, very little in the last several weeks. So I'd be surprised. I guess you never know exactly how a coaching staff is going to feel, and maybe there's other things behind the scenes that we're not aware of. But Brian Elliott's been your guy throughout. Brian Elliott won you Game 7 against the Chicago Blackhawks. I think Brian Elliott is your guy tonight.
That said, EJ, do you think, I mean, obviously with a Game 7, there's no tomorrow, even a shorter leash where if there were two goals all of a sudden early in the first, that Hitch might make a change. And same on the other side with the Stars, just because there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the circumstance. I think the coaches will have to do a good job reading their goaltenders. They've been around these guys for a long time. Brian Elliott's no newcomer to Ken Hitchcock. He's seen when Brian is playing well, and he's seen when maybe Brian has had some struggles, just as Lindy Ruff has been the same way with Kari Lehtinen. So I think in this game, you can't go too long if you have a bad feeling about how your goaltender is looking on this particular night. So I do think there will be a little bit more of that, but I'm not expecting that to happen for Brian Elliott. I think Brian Elliott will go in and play well, and it's just a matter of how the team plays in front of him.
This is the eighth playoff series in a row that Troy Brouwer's been in. It's gone the full seven games, so certainly he's got experience with this kind of thing. How important do you think experience in that kind of thing is in a game like tonight? I mean, once the puck drops and they've all had a shift or two, does it start to feel like any other game?
Well, that's something you'd have to ask each individual player. I tend to think that it does start to go away a little bit. I think the lead-up is the area where experience really helps. Some guys can play the game in their head over and over and over again, and you become fatigued. I can remember talking to Brendan Shanahan about Steve Yzerman years ago for a story I was writing at ESPN Magazine, and Shanahan's point was that Yzerman would be very calm. He would just sit in his stall before the game. During the day, he just was relaxed, and he didn't get himself mentally burned out throughout the day getting ready for the game. And Shanahan admitted, he said, it was hard, much harder for me. Especially when I was younger, I used to really wear myself out thinking about these games before they even played. So I think each individual is different. Troy Brouwer's obviously been there. He's got a lot of experience. The Blues have players in that room that have a lot of experience. But then again, so do the Dallas Stars with guys like Johnny Oduya and Patrick Sharp and Jason Spezza and down the line. They've got a number of guys who played in these types of situations. So I tend to think that once the game gets started, once they get through a few shifts, guys settle in and are trying to execute the game plan to the best they can and hopefully win the game.
EJ, I know you said you think it's a toss-up, but from watching the six games, and maybe it'd be different if Tyler Seguin was in the series, but do you think the Blues are the better team? Do you think they should win, or are you going the other way with it? Or is it just so close that it just kind of comes down to who gets a few breaks?
I thought going into the series, Blues were the better team. I still think that, especially without Seguin in Dallas, the Blues have the deeper roster. But I start to wonder if maybe I'm not giving the Dallas Stars enough credit, just because the St. Louis Blues, we know this group. They've been around a while. And the Dallas Stars were not quite as familiar with as a playoff team. They have some veteran guys in that group, as I just mentioned before. But I started to wonder, am I giving this team enough credit? They play really fast. We saw what speed can do last night in the Eastern Conference with the Pittsburgh Penguins taking out the Washington Capitals with their speed. So I still think St. Louis has a slight advantage, but it's not that big an advantage that it can't go the other way. And that's why we're here in Game 7. We wouldn't be here if the Dallas Stars didn't have a lot of didn't have the speed and didn't have the ability to play with the St. Louis Blues. So in one game, hard to know how things are going to how things are going to balance. I mean, I just think it's so interesting, and we saw in Game 6 of the Blues and Stars. Look at the first goal. Colton Parayko tries to throw a puck back at the net from a point. It just taps off the shin pad of Matthias Janmark, goes to right to Valeri Nichushkin up the ice to Janmark, and he scores. The difference isn't a lot. So whoever can maybe get that first goal tonight, if you can extend to a second goal, play with the lead, I think it's always better than chasing the game. So it's tight. It's close, guys. It could really, for me, this is one of those ones I won't be surprised either way.
We always hear that, how important it is to get the first goal. But then it seems like in this series and in the Blackhawks series as well for the Blues, whoever gets in front by two goals stops playing offensively, and the other team comes storming back. I don't know if it's better to get ahead or behind now.
Well, I see your point, and we saw it the other night where St. Louis was just terrific in the second and third period, just couldn't get that third goal. But I do think I would rather take my chances with a two- or three-goal lead, if that's possible. But you're right, it's been one of those playoff years where a lot of things have happened, and certainly for the Blues, they've had experiences against Chicago and Dallas where they've gotten behind, and especially in the Dallas series, they've gotten behind, and then they score usually right away. In Game 6, that wasn't the case. Dallas was able to put two goals together and eventually a third. But, again, I mean, I think in these circumstances, in the playoffs, it's about 70% win ratio when you score first. And in Game 7s, I believe it's even higher, like 75%. I'll take my chance with those odds, scoring first and trying to protect from there and dictate the tempo of the game.
E.J. Raddick with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He's with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines and presented by the National Blues Museum at nationalbluesmuseum.org. So it's all set in the Eastern Conference Finals now with the Pittsburgh Penguins eliminating the Capitals last night in overtime, and the Tampa Bay Lightning having relatively no problem with the New York Islanders, but it's still all up for grabs with two Game 7s in the West. You got to put down a small wager, E.J. Who do you think is going to be playing in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, before the matchup started, I thought St. Louis and San Jose were the two teams that were, I guess, destined to go on to meet each other in the Western Conference Final this year. But obviously, in each case, it's been really, really close. In the other series, it's been a homer series. I think the extra day off will really help the Nashville Predators, who've been playing every other day since the playoffs started, and they've been going back and forth to California like you and I go to the store. So it's been a grind for the Predators, but I'll go with St. Louis and I'll go with San Jose. I think that would be a heck of a Western Conference Final, but I think the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars have shown they're more than capable of winning. So we'll just play the games and see what happens.
There it is. Looking forward to it tonight. Back-to-back nights of Game 7s with the right to go to the Western Conference Final on the line both evenings. Tonight in Dallas, tomorrow in San Jose, and the winner, as I understand it, will get underway on Saturday, and if the Blues win it will be here in St. Louis. Blues would have home ice if they can advance, no matter who they would play at this point, if they were to eliminate Dallas, and of course with Washington now out. E.J. Raddick, NHL Network host and senior reporter for NHL.com, brought to us here by the National Blues Museum on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. E.J., we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. E.J. Raddick with us here. Ryan Kelly, Morning After. He thinks Brian Elliott will be in goal, and he's picking the Blues, and he's picking the Sharks.
You think either one of these teams are going to have the ability to beat the Penguins? Boy, they look good.
Yes.
They just look unbelievably good to me.
They do. They're playing better than anybody
right
now.
Or are they playing, I don't want to say lesser competition because the Capitals had the most points, but I do think the Eastern Conference was significantly easier than the West and has been for a while in terms of just overall depth.
Oh, top to bottom, there's no doubt about that.
Right, like the Blues. And this year, the Hawks and the Kings losing in the first round. I mean, those types of teams, they're advancing in the East. Teams that are that good.
Probably so. The Penguins just looked really good against a Washington team that had, 120 points this year? I mean, they looked really, really good last night.
Doug, what's my name in the text inbox? It's not Carl or Carl with a K. Whatevs. That comes from conservative Carl.
I'm supposed to guess what his name is on the inbox.
I don't know what the text meant. Now that people know that their names pop up in the text inbox, they want to know what their names are.
I suggest we read the real names of these people, and maybe that will cut down on some of the vileness.
And email addresses?
Absolutely.
Phone numbers?
Home addresses?
Yes. Why do you get anonymity?
I did change the Shrewsbury seminary student, so it should come up correctly now.
He was furious. We had some guy mad at Chrissy yesterday on the fan page for being blocked from the fan page, and said he was going to contact me and was going to give me a piece of his mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you've got a couple hours to listen to complaints like that, haven't you? I mean, it's kind of what you do.
Right now I'm organizing the trash disposal schedule for the Sea Monster.
If you can get that wrapped up, let's spend our day listening to complaints from people on a fan page. Why not? Seems very productive to me. This is such important stuff. Drop what you're doing and tend to it now.
The thing is, most of the guy, and it's odd, I wonder why this is, Charlie, but if you did an age demographic study on who seems to get blocked, it's usually like guys in their 40s.
Sure.
So these are like 40-something-year-old men, oftentimes with families, who have done something to irritate somebody to lead to getting blocked, and then they have to come back hat in hand. But it's always like Shawshank. Everybody's innocent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doug, you deal with that because you block people on the Twitter tweets, including Charlie at one point.
That's right.
And the cat still.
Yeah, he was mean-spirited.
And then they'll come to us and they'll say, I don't know what I did, but you blocked.
But there's a difference. I didn't do anything.
No, here's the difference. It's like what I talked about with the white-collar gangster. Now, sometimes you can't tell the difference because there's the anonymity and it's social media, but usually you can tell who is being fun and lighthearted in their sarcasm, if they're joking around, because that's what we do on this show. I think we all enjoy that on social media, kind of joking around. But there's the other people, Doug. There's the sect of the audience that takes it to a mean, disrespectful place.
That's right.
That's who I have a problem with.
Right. And they should all be blocked.
Correct. Blocking. I love the interaction with the listeners. They tell jokes. We bust bulls. That's what we do on this show. But there's the people that take it a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, everybody is welcome in our reindeer games.
I'm actually getting killed now because I said...
What's wrong, Plow Shark?
I just said, hey, hate me if you want, but I think Timber Fake is highly entertaining and I love him on air.
Was this a Twitter tweet or is this
on the fan page? It was just on the Facebook fan page and kind of getting grilled. People are not a fan of Timber Fake. I think pound for pound, one of the most entertaining people we put on.
Pound for pound, like he's Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, he'd be the champ pound for pound because he doesn't weigh more than about $1.25.
Tim, what did I do? You never read my stuff. It's from Grimey from South County.
Oh.
Sometimes people also, this is just my opinion. Everybody's different. When you're sifting through the text, Doug, you have your own sense of humor. So like what I think is funny, maybe other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some people think their emails and texts are really hilarious.
Or they wouldn't send them.
But also, like sometimes they're not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then they have their feelings hurt if
like
they're not real.
Right. We've all been on the radio. I've said something that I thought was going to be really funny. And then it's crickets. And then I realize, okay, that wasn't as funny as I thought.
Sure.
But I think sometimes the texters text in thinking their text is hilarious,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that it isn't.
Well, would you stop what you're doing or risk your life texting while driving if you didn't think that you had just a hysterical thought that needed to be shared with the world?
I think sometimes people are just bored. They're at work. They're really bored.
Doug, this is the Shrewsbury Seminary student, heated about name in text line.
Ah, well, hello, Shrewsy.
What the heck, Sea Monster?
The Sea Monster.
Didn't he name my text name, Tim?
Well, we don't know who puts the names in. I actually thought up until we got the Sea Monster's answer a little while ago that this was caller ID, and for whatever reason, some people's names popped up and some didn't.
All right, brother. Well, Doug, I got 3 steps for you to get on a Gmail.
Well, I don't care to be on Gmail. What difference does it make? How will this improve anything?
Steps. Will you listen to the steps?
Okay. Let's hear your steps.
Log out of fccglobal.net. Go to gmail.com. Click sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me lick your diaper.
Pot him down!
Wow.
Pot him down!
Was that only 2 steps, though?
What was that name that you were going to call him? That you called him earlier, Sea Monster? Because we need to go back to that.
Unstable.
It upset him. Shrewsbury Unstable. That's his name. Shrewsbury unstable. You've been suspended.
That's
you've
not
been
very
suspended
catchy.
A period of 2 days' time. But he doesn't like it. Okay. So that's what his name shall be. He's
it
been suspended,
funny,
and his
though.
Name is going into the Ragazzi's leather-bound suspension logule.
What is SBCGlobal.net? Like, what is that? I'm being curious. I understand what Hotmail is and AOL.
I think that's what I got when I first signed up for an email account going back 20 years, maybe?
Yeah, I created my Hotmail in, like, 96.
Yeah.
I was excited about the Cardinals' run through the Padres and Gary Gaetti's Grand Slam. Remember that?
And I believe I had UVerse at the time, and that's the email address that they had.
I think for cheating husbands, they have one. I think it's called hushmail.com.
Hushmail.
I'm actually being pretty serious. I don't know. I'll check into it and let you guys know.
I mean, who really cares? Who cares what the other person's email address is, as long as you have it, right?
The Shrewsbury guy did.
It really bugs him, but he's unstable. No wonder he got out of the seminary. We don't need unstable members of the cloth. We don't need any more of them.
I will say this. It is kind of funny when you see somebody with an email from an account like that. For example, photographer I'm going with to Dallas, great guy, and I was going to – I actually did. I forwarded him our itinerary. I said, what's your email? And it was an AOL account. And it's just – you don't see that very often anymore. So it's just kind of a little humorous.
My Hotmail works, baby. And it screams class and credibility when I send a message to another business owner. Oh, you have a Hotmail account. Fortune 500?
I think I told you once I had a niece that used to work for AOL, and she said that they still make like $120 million a year or so from people paying $10 a month thinking they still have to pay AOL.com to get on the Internet.
Wow.
They don't bother to tell them you don't have to do that anymore, but people still send in their $10 a month.
I'm still paying $24.95 a month for Danny's hard drive. Mm. I should stop that. Same thing, though, with my Hotmail. Yeah, maybe I should get Gmail. I don't know.
What difference does it make?
Don't you think that Facebook thought that they were going to kind of take over email, which didn't work? Because you have a Facebook email by having an account, but I don't think anybody uses that.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
No,
that explains the problem. Doug, SBC bought AT&T and took their name in 2007. Thanks. It's from the 618.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I had UVerse there for a while.
Make money, money, make money, money.
But now
money.
If I change it, all the people that send me important emails, they wouldn't have my address.
It's fine.
I know it's fine. That's why I'm not changing.
We're still going to make fun of you, though.
That's fine. I don't
You get made
care.
Fun of for everything, so what does it matter?
That's the show.
Email address.
That's the thing. The Sea Monster really kind of is above the fray, and that's why when the Shrewsbury Seminary student?
The Shrewsbury Unstable.
Called out the Sea Monster. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Sea Monster is kind of like Stedman. Those are the only two people to ever work on the show who kind of like, they float above the ruckus, you know?
You know what, though? But Sea Monster.
He's sneaky creepy.
Pretends, yeah.
He's sneaky creepy.
He pretends like he's not in on the fun and games. And deep down, I think he really kind of enjoys some of the lowbrow stuff. Because he always has that kind of like Cheshire Cat grin.
He don't want to talk, man. That's why he's a good producer. He don't want to be on the air. Doug?
What?
No.
I don't really want to be on the air either. I'd rather not talk.
Guys, Hushmail is an encrypted email service. It has nothing to do with cheating husbands, you waterhead. Thanks, Jim Abbott's good hand.
Waterhead.
See, knowledge is power. I just assume with the name Hushmail, you're keeping it hush-hush.
That was a pretty big leap.
I was watching TV the other day. And I see the story for the whole Ashley Madison thing. And apparently, if you're trying to sue Ashley Madison for putting your name out there, you have to give your name. So basically, you can't just anonymously sue Ashley Madison. What do you think about that? So basically, to sue them, you have to put your name out there, which is obviously going to put you out on Front Street even more.
On front, right there on Front Street.
Front Street, I like that.
Main Street.
That probably works for a lot of illicit websites. They can probably cheat lots of people knowing nobody's going to come after them.
Do you think that's fair?
Probably not. Ethical? Fair? I don't know what's fair anymore.
The whole operation just, it's not right, though. You know what I'm saying?
When
just
we were
starting that website.
When we were at KFNS, they ran commercials during our show. Here's the arrangement that was there, just for the record, even though it won't matter. But just Inside STL owned 66% of the inventory on the show. KFNS, which was Grand Slam Sports, if I'm not mistaken, at the time, owned 33%. 67, 33, whatever. And so they had the right to keep 100% of the revenue for their 33%. And so they put some Ashley Madison spots in our time slot. And I was received hate mail like nobody's business. But they weren't ours, you know. And, you know, Ashley Madison obviously advertises. But I got hate mail on that thing. And then now, I don't know if they advertise anymore, though, ever since that all went down. They might be struggling a bit.
I don't know. I don't hear any commercials like that. But they probably made $1 billion off that thing.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but from an ethical standpoint, would you take the ads if you're going to make money off it?
I when that happened and everybody was attacking me for it, not everybody, a handful of emailers, you know, I honestly thought about it, but I don't know. I truly go back and forth. I mean, I haven't been put to the test. Oh, he's moving all in and he's putting the man to the test, so I haven't had to make the call. I don't know. Like, I have no problem with strip bars and casinos, but I know there are some radio corporations that, I mean, maybe the employees have no problem with it, but the corporations, the managing partners, the board, whatever, they won't take that money.
We're past casinos being an issue, aren't we?
Well, it's never been for us, but there
but
have been.
But I mean, most of the industry?
There have been.
There are people turning down casino money?
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yep.
That seems like casinos have gone into the mainstream now, the American culture, that nobody's really too uptight about casinos anymore. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know on that, Charlie. It's a good question. I haven't been put to the test. So if Ashley Madison wants to make a six-figure buy, put me to the test, Doug.
I would say if I was running a company, I would not want to run their ads. But then if it got to a point where your business is dependent upon maybe that last sale and you got to shut her down, or if people are going to lose their jobs, I'd probably
then
go
you
ahead.
Do, yeah, so ultimately it gets down to the money. If you've got plenty of money, you can say, well, I know, I would never accept that. And if you're struggling, you go, well, sure. Who am I to censor anyone?
Tim, you get paid. Any sponsor calls, you take it. Keep getting those checks. Make money. That's from the troll. Guys, if you're going to cheat on your wife, do it the old-fashioned way, by meeting someone in the men's restroom at Forest Park. It's from the hipster of Tower Grove South.
That can't work. It can't work, does it? That's such a cliche. Is it still going on?
I mean, he's at Wilmore Park.
I don't know. You guys hang out at those places. Have you seen anything last time you were there?
I just have to use the restroom sometimes when I'm on a jog every day.
Oh.
And you know the whole debate with the HB2 thing with the North Carolina, the restroom laws and all that and all the controversy? I'm going to bring up the shaved duck again that we were at Friday. They have two bathrooms. Didn't say men and women. Didn't say male and female. It said human and human.
Wow.
That's awful.
Wow. I feel unified. I feel better about America.
Isn't that awful? Isn't that taking it too far?
Human.
Is the bathroom situation really been a problem in this country?
Royal
and now it
real.
Is. Now it is a problem because of what? 0.1% of the population? That's who we're kowtowing to now?
Controversy.
Never mind what's good for almost everybody.
If I were a woman, I wouldn't want to follow a gentleman into the restroom.
No.
But as far as a human and human, wow, I've never felt better about the world.
I mean, if you had a daughter, would you want men coming into the restroom while she was there alone in the restroom? It's craziness. It's nuts. It's worked fine all right up until now, hasn't it? I'm sure there have been cross-dressers in restrooms where we've been. We don't notice, don't care. But now, if you're going to let everybody go into anyone else's restroom, that's craziness.
Yeah, I understand the small portion of people who it affects. I really do. But I do think from the bigger standpoint is it's not going to affect that many people, and I don't think it's really going to be an issue. I think
it's going to be an issue if they start saying, use whatever bathroom you want, and grown men start going into restrooms with little girls. That's an issue.
Yes, and that's weird. But I think if you're a predator, if you're a criminal, you're going to do things like that regardless of the laws.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think that...
Because if you know for sure, if you go into that girl's restroom, you're going to get hauled out of there in handcuffs. If you know for sure, that's likely to make you say, well, I better not do it. But if you know you can get away with doing it, nothing's going to happen, you're much more likely to do it.
I don't know. I think criminals break the law, and they know the laws, and they're doing it anyway.
I just think this puts it right on a tee for people.
I just don't... But you said earlier it's not going to be that big of a deal.
No, I say it hasn't been a big deal. Has anybody ever been screaming about, hey, I can't use a restroom facility in this country? Has that ever been a problem?
Actually, here at the station, some people can't use a certain restroom on the
first
floor.
That one, because that's just for you. I mean, we're making up problems.
See if Ted Cruz can back us to try and get the restroom situation fixed here.
You don't like the human and the human?
No, I hate that. That's stupid. That's ridiculous.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Okay, what if, I'm trying to think of a good example here. What if you have a really long line for the men's bathroom, okay? But you have no line in the women's bathroom. Now, I'm not talking about anything about what your gender is and all that. I'm talking about strictly you're waiting in line for the restroom. Mm. Wouldn't you rather be able to just half that line, go over to the other restroom, and it would be a more efficient system?
If there's no one in the ladies' room, perhaps. If there's somebody in there, I think you need to respect them and say, okay, that's your spot. I'm a man. This is my spot.
What I'm saying is, if there's 10 dudes all waiting for the one restroom and there's zero women, it'd be more efficient for all. If 5 dudes got to go in the other bathroom, the lines would be shorter. Everybody goes to the restroom quicker.
Well,
make America great again.
It would be efficient, but it just wouldn't be right, in my opinion. No, you're a man, use the men's room.
You're telling me
if you're a transgender, I don't know, pick one or the other and the rest of us will deal with it.
I'm fine with that. You're telling me, though, that you've never seen that the women's bathroom
has
no line, so
yes.
You jumped in there real quick when no one was in there.
No, I've never jumped in.
You have done that.
Oh, I did at the old...
Exactly.
But we were told to go ahead and do that.
Everybody's done
And there was no one in it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a big difference if there's no one there. Well, that's what I said, too.
What are you talking about, having a party in there?
I said if you knocked on it and there's nobody there, then it might be okay.
Jeez, sea monster can't
do this guy? It's got to be a real emergency, though.
No, if there's nobody in the women's restroom... And there's a line in the men's, hop on over, lock the door.
Like at Bush Stadium. You're at Bush Stadium.
That's different. There's always a million people. I'm talking if you're at, like, Target, okay? If there's 5 dudes waiting in the men's line and there's nobody in the women's line, you jump on over, you go to the restroom real quick, you lock the door, you come on out. Even if a woman's waiting, it's fine. You're not in there with a woman.
All right. If there's a door to be locked so that some woman doesn't come in and get shocked because you're in there?
If she gets, yes, absolutely. Yeah, she's not in there with you.
Top of the hour, boys. I got a break. We have Derek Gould joining us at 9:20. You are welcome to email in the morning after InsideSTL.com. Post gift certificate is the prize for our email of the day. We are broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. Online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's where I got my car. It's where I recommend you get your car. It's where I'm getting my car serviced. I need an oil change. I'm going to Gateway Buick GMC because I know they're doing a great job. It's Gateway Buick GMC, known for their fun contest prizes, giveaways, and more. All you have to do is follow them on social media to find out more. Gateway Buick GMC's Twitter handle is at stlouisbuickgmc.com or at stlouisbuickgmc, and look for their hashtag Gateway Giveaways on Twitter as well as Facebook. All right, it's Gateway Buick GMC Studios, which we're broadcasting from. Derek Gould at 9:20. Blues, Stars, Game 7 discussion continuing, plus email today. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.